Welcome to The After Party, the weekly follow-up to sermons from Harbor of Hope Christian Church in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. We sit down every Sunday with the pastor who spoke and dive deeper into the topic from each week. Without further ado, join the party. Hey everybody, welcome to The After Party, the weekly Harbor of Hope podcast where we sit down every week with the person who spoke and ask them questions and go a little deeper than we can during church. So I'm your host, Jeff Dalrymple, and I'm here with Kelly Tibbetts. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Jeff.
How you doing?
Ah, that was a tough message, so I'm glad to be here with you. I miss seeing you.
I miss seeing you, too. It has been, the message was you really got hit with the hard verses, not only about suffering in a time of suffering, but also about the ones we like to avoid, about submission.
Absolutely, right.
And men and women submitting, and husbands and wives, and really uncomfortable stuff. And we'll get into some of that, I'm sure. But before we dive in, can you give us a 60-second or less summary on what you spoke on today?
Sure. We're in 1 Peter, which is a letter that Peter wrote to this group of people living in Turkey, living as refugees, living under a time where life is hard. And because Peter was one of Jesus's close friends, because he saw the resurrection, because he saw the power of Christ, he's able to speak into a community that's experiencing suffering, is experiencing pain, and be able to say, you know what, there will be suffering, but it is going to be used, that you're not going to suffer in vain, right? And so that's sort of, you know, a hard word, an easier word be like, and when you find Christ, there's no suffering, but that's not what it is. In this world, there will be suffering, but God has overcome the world and he's with us in it. Mm-hmm. And part of the path that we walk through in suffering is that he's, you know, as Mike has said before, he's, you know, reminding us that he's making gold, he's making glory out of the things that we walk through life that are so very hard. So today was the end of chapter 2 and beginning of 3. So sort of systems that, you know, if there was no sin in the world, these systems would work to honor God and be glorifying to him, and they don't. Mm-hmm. And so on top of what we're walking through right now of recognizing just, you know, systemic inequality and racism and pain that people of color are feeling, also just because we're in the season of COVID and people who have been sick or lost loved ones or died, I feel like that we're just sort of surrounded by suffering right now. And so Peter's word is just as important now as it was 2,000 years ago.
I appreciate that a lot. Can you share a little bit about your suffering this week? I know there's you came face to face with suffering while writing about it.
Right. No, it's been a hard week, and you know, the silliest but, you know, most annoying part was just simply that my car died on Monday out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. It was driving fine and then it just died. And that was, you know, in a rainstorm, of course, and just one of those hard days. And just, you know, people I love who are very sick, and people I love who've lost jobs, and my children trying to just keep reimagining the future. Two of them are in college, and it seems like every week a piece of what college was goes away for people who are going to college in the season. I have friends with high school seniors who lost graduation and lost those final moments with their friends. And so I just think, you know, there's just layer upon layer of things that are hard right now for so many. And I know you also have had some hard things. So it's just, it's the promise that Christ is with us in these hard moments. It is the moments of joy. You know, I talked a little bit about that in the sermon of being able to just get up a little early this morning. It was beautiful out, and to walk. I've been trying to really be intentional about silence and stillness and solitude. So to walk alone and just listen to nature, and it's just amazing, right? The birds and watching the squirrels and how beautiful it is out. And so, you know, life is 50-50. There's hard and there's good, and it's often mixed together. And so that was sort of my week. It was hard and it was good mixed together.
Can you share about a bat? Is that something you
want to
share about?
Oh, the bats in my house. So it seems like once a year we get, so apparently when bats are like young male bats, they go and they go into places they shouldn't, and my house is their favorite place. So at least once a year we get a bat. And so we got one Monday night, and I think it was frustrating because I was in chapter 3 where it says to husbands, you know, like, be kind to your wives who, I don't even know what's the exact word, the weaker partners, how this version, the Passion Bible says it. And that would be so insulting, except I felt that this week because my husband was golfing. We found the bat at 8. I think he took it out of my house at 9:20. And I was trying, Jeff, you know, like I had the hat on and the tennis racket, but it was on top of my cabinet and I'm short and I just couldn't get it. And he came home and got into a box and got it out of my house. But yeah, I'm not a fan of bats and they seem to show up every summer. So yeah.
You said earlier in this podcast that, you know, you expect if you're walking with God that things will go well.
Yeah.
What do you think that is?
Well, because I have a life coach that I talk to. And so the next morning I was talking to her about like, oh, I don't know why these things happen. And she said, why do you expect that things won't be hard? Mm-hmm. Why do you think that when things are hard, they're not good? And when things are easy, they are good. And I would say that's just a very broken thing that comes from my childhood, comes from like wrong understanding of scripture, which is part of what we're talking about today, is how awful it is when verses are picked out of scripture without the context of the whole thing, right? From the beginning to the end, God is saying, I made you in my image. I love you. Come back to me. But we pull these scriptures out and we lose the fact that everyone is made in the image of God. And we're like, okay, men are better than women, says so right here. Or, you know, you can be unkind to your workers, says so right here. You can own people. Right? That slaves obey your masters, servants obey your masters, however that was translated so inappropriately and caused so much damage. And so that was one of the things that I was sort of processing this week. Why do I think, and I know I don't think it actually laughed as she said it, because I know I don't believe it, but it's still a thought that comes around enough that it causes a consequence, right? Oh, if things are hard, they must not be what God wants me to do. Of course, He works in hard things. You and I both really enjoy going to the gym. I never say when I'm done and sore, oh, I wish I didn't do that. But I never want to go. I never want to go make myself sore and do hard things. But yet that's where growth is. And so in our suffering, that's one of the things is we can try to avoid it. We can buffer it. We can use things to not feel the pain of it, or we can walk firmly into the pain and walk through it and know that in our suffering, His promise is that He's with us and that He is going to do something that allows us to glorify Him through it. But it's hard, right? None of us want this version.
It's hard. It is hard to see Christ around us when when things are hard. We expect God to be the Santa Claus that if you're good, you get presents, and if you're bad, you get coal. And it's hard to see God when we're suffering because it's not that perfect give and take that we would expect in our own lives.
Absolutely.
And along with the suffering, you talked about submission. And you said things that were challenging to me, I'll be honest, because they were not hard to hear, but it's like how do you frame these verses that are appropriate for all audiences without taking a side? Because you're talking about one, government submission and saying there are layers of authority, and there's people that could hear that and say, like, well, I don't like the government. I disagree with you. And there's people that could...
Especially right now, right?
Yeah, right. And there's, you know, you didn't say one way or the other how you feel about American government. And I'm not asking that. But, and so you spoke on that and you spoke on the verse following, which is wives submit to your husbands and also husbands submit to your wives.
I wish it did say submit to your wives. It actually says be considerate in the same way, be considerate. So yeah, no, what was hard this week is those are really hard verses that if I could, I would skip, because they're so very hard. So I think the first thing you do is you start in context and you start in like, what was the world like that he was writing to? And I think one of the interesting things is the fact that Peter is writing specifically to women who have found Christ, who have found this new life where Jesus values children and women and slaves and servants or whatever that word is actually intended to be, because it was never intended to be what happened in America, right? It was never intended to be that some people have the right to own other people. That is completely against the fact that the image of God is in each human, right? This was more, I believe, from the work I've done, you probably know even more, just the, you know, servanthood of people living in a master's home. But again, income inequality has always been, right? And people treating other people disrespectfully has always been. And what Peter is saying is that there are two ways, right? There is the eye for the eye, tooth for the tooth way. And then there is this other way. And for me, where I try to find some comfort in this, because it's incredibly hard. This is not easy stuff to say. If God is in charge of the earth, then why are these things this way, right? If God is on the throne, why are these things this way? And the truth is, He is. he is judge, and he is the only one who can judge, right? I really like the book and the movie The Shack, and there's this one scene in it where, you know, the dad who's gone through more horror than any parent feels they could ever go through is given the chance to sit on the judgment seat. Mm-hmm. But when you sit on the judgment seat, you're like, well, you can judge this person, but this is why this person does this. This is their childhood. This is their parents' childhood. This is like, no one but God can see all of these generations of why. And so it does require faith that God is the ultimate judge, that he is actually in control. And he will produce justice, which is different than vengeance. And vengeance is what is easiest to come out of all of these three, you know, inequitable systems that the government is meant to be what protects people, what creates systems of being able to have roads and water and care for each other and work, right? Work was created by God. We have purpose in our hearts. And yet how many times are there systems of oppression and people being mistreated? And, you know, that happens. All these things happen when we lose the sight of the image of God in each other.
Absolutely.
And whether it's how we treat somebody in a grocery line, or it's how we treat someone at work, or we treat someone, you know, like all of our hearts right now are compelled to say, like, what part have I played in systemic racism in America, right? As a white person, what have I not said or not done, those sins of omission, the things that I have committed? And then on top of that, you just keep going out, right? Like in Pride Month, I have a niece who is gay. How many, you know, like Black trans women and how they're treated so inequitably, right? Like the levels of inequity are not tied to just husbands and wives. And then these verses in particular, especially in the fundamentalist church, you've seen people misuse that, where abuse is allowed to take place, right? And so all of scripture, I think that's part of why community is so necessary, right? Like to have other people who are, who think differently and are different, and be able to say, and what are you hearing? What are you thinking? We have the gift of being able to have lots and lots of resources these days of what does the Greek mean? And what was, you know, Peter trying to say? And at the end of the day, to do all of this justice, it probably takes like months and months of work, right? Going through each word and each line. But where we landed in trying to communicate it is there are systems that are hard. And as we live like loved children of God in a pagan society, in a place where people don't respect the image of God in each other, when we are suffering through this life and doing good, there's this promise that the glory is going to go to God. And Peter is one of the few people that could really write this clearly, because he not only was suffering alongside them, he had also seen the risen Christ. And the confidence of that, like if we were walking with the risen Christ right now, we would have our eyes up. We would have our eyes on the truth instead of the things around us that are weighing us down. So not easy, hard words, probably got stuff wrong, and open to hearing that as well.
We're all getting it wrong.
All like getting it wrong. Doing the best we can, but
trying. But I love the way you put it right now. It's about seeing the image of God in other people. And I think that is, that is truly the core of most things in this world, what we're called to do. I also love, and you didn't say this, but you painted it this way, where this submission to authority is such a, it was not written as a be-all, end-all law for us to follow, but it is the, it's a good guideline. It is a, you painted it in a very third way of thinking, where it's not all one, all the other. It's not, you know, defeat and destroy all oppressive systems, nor is it submit completely to oppressive systems, because God says respect authority. You kind of said, like, if there's oppressive systems, you dismantle them. You should dismantle them. You should talk about them. Like, submission and abuse are very different things.
Yes.
And so there is,
I did want that to be clear. I unfortunately grew up in a church system which didn't necessarily clarify that. And so, so this wives submit to your husband, abuse is not something that our church is ever going to say is in any way okay, no matter which direction it goes in. The hard part is going to be that that third way is so hard, right? It's so much easier to have clarity. I love people who are, you know, coming out of sort of fundamentalist thinking, keep saying like, it was easier when there was black and there was white, there was wrong, right? The third way requires nuance and requires the understanding that Jesus says like his way is narrow. And so Peter, you know, who wrote this, also says in the book of Acts, like the authority that you are ultimately responsible is actually God. So when God says something like, let us make people in our image, and people do not treat each other in the image of God, you follow God,
right?
Not the employer, not the spouse, not the family, not the government, right? Like you first follow God. But at the end of the day, it's also God who will be judging. And it's not mine to judge, but it is mine to be discerning, God, what is mine to do, right? In your strength, in your power, for your purpose.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And that's a hard place to figure out sometimes.
It's not easy.
You're absolutely
right. It's not easy.
You talked about Christ beholding us. Mm-hmm. I thought that was so beautiful that Christ, like a mother staring into his child's eyes, beholds us.
Yeah, that was yesterday. I was going for a walk. Jen Hatmaker, I don't know if you follow her. She's doing a series on the Enneagram, and she had Ian Crone on, and he was talking yesterday about the value Enneagram 4 brings to a relationship is the fact that they can hold with nuance. They don't need, there are other Enneagram numbers that need like, it has to be this way or this way. You know, all of us in a healthy place can have nuance. And he said, one of the places that nuance comes in relationships is in the world, in this word behold. Mm-hmm. And it's most beautifully understood in the eyes of a mother gazing into her baby, and they have that connection.
Yeah.
That is so powerful. And that's what God, the shepherd, the overseer, that's what Peter calls him, is doing. And so when we, like, so that person that you're struggling with, the person that I'm struggling with, if we can picture Christ holding that person in his arms, eye to eye, speaking over them, you are made in my image and you are so loved. And then we picture ourselves in that, how much easier that relationship becomes.
Yeah.
Because it's just brother and sister in Christ, completely loving each other, mutual humility. You go first. No, you go first, right? Like your needs are more important than mine. No, your needs are more important than mine. And, you know, and it's fun. You're getting married. Like that's what marriage is intended to be.
Well, yeah. I said that to Sarah. I said that to Sarah yesterday. We were talking about that and what it looks like to, how do you fight for the relationship while also knowing that the relationship is sturdy and stable. So the phrase we came up with was like, this might be bad advice. I'm not married, so don't hold me to it. But it was love your partner unconditionally, but love them like you have to earn it. Like you have to earn their love. So if it's both mutually knowing that you're there and stable and not going anywhere, and that you can love the other unconditionally, and at the same time you are loving them as if you have to earn it, then if it's healthy and balanced, you're both completely submitting to the other, completely serving the other, completely loving the other and receiving it as well.
And that's why I didn't spend enough time on it, because, you know, it's hard to do all these things, but I think marriage, when you describe it that way, is shown what it looks like for us in this mutual submission of the Trinity, right? Mm-hmm. Of not needing to be greater, but also really pouring into each other. And it's what church was meant to be. It's what family systems are meant to be. Like all these systems are supposed to look like that.
Yeah.
But that requires so much humility and so much, I think, the starting point of receiving love so that you can give love, right? Not receiving, because when we walk around empty, we all have these different ways of dealing with that, right? Mm-hmm. And so, so anyway, not easy, but I think the important part, I'm so glad we're walking through First Peter. I think it's really important for our community at this time, but to see it as one letter, part of one big story.
Yeah.
And to keep it always in context, because out of context, it's hard. It's harmful. Certainly. It's hurtful. Right. Yeah. And I hope today, you know, my prayer at the beginning was that God would have a word for everybody. Cause that's what's so beautiful about scripture is I do believe it's good. It's God breathed. Mm-hmm. And it gives life, and different people will land on different places. But for me, you know, what was so powerful was sort of where I landed in the end. And I don't know if you were going to go there, but last week we talked about these precious stones, and that was the picture God gave me is we live at a time right now, we're in the middle of COVID, we're, you know, experiencing what it means to be an ally and a partner to our friends of color. And we're learning and we're trying to listen and repent and lament. And these big systems are so hard for us to understand what we can do, right? And so the picture that I saw was sort of when you hold that stone that you are and you drop it into the water, this living water of God, and it ripples out. And so if we can start with us and really owning that phrase, right? Of God beholds you and he sees all of you and there's no shame. He just takes that, throws that away. It's just love. Then you create this marriage based on that place of the two of you being love and receiving love. Mm-hmm. And that has been the most powerful thing for me is to see, okay, the most important thing I do is my soul, my husband, my children. And then as we move out those ripples that I'm able to love well and see people in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And when that's missing, when there's struggle, when there's anything, to be able to go back and say that suffering is good.
Right?
Like, I think this suffering right now, as hard as it is for our country, is also good for our country. There are things that we need to remove forever. There are systems that need to break down. We were even talking about, you know, church was going along just fine, then it stopped. Well, there's a bunch of things that won't return, and that's really good.
Right. Sure.
We miss the being together part, and that's the most important part, but that can get lost in the doing stuff.
Right.
And so if that's what comes out of this is less doing and more being, that's going to be a good thing.
Like chaff in the wind, hopefully.
Yeah.
I like all that. And you touched on this already, so I won't ask it as a question, but I think that is where I wanted to land with the beholding, the way Christ beholds us. You said your big idea was the way that we, where to go? I wrote it down. How we live our life shows the people around us who we are living for.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that way, we should behold others the way that Christ beholds us.
Mm.
If you have any thoughts on that, I'm happy to
close on that.
To close on that.
And then I think the important, you know, it was hard getting to a big idea. This was a faster than normal preparation for me. Usually I do best with like a couple of months to sit in the word, you know? But how we live our life matters.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always feel like that, right? We're one person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But how we live our life matters, and it matters particularly for the people who are watching us. I think that's what's so overwhelming about knowing the context of this letter, that this little group of 12 friends who didn't do it right? Peter, especially, right? He just got so many things wrong. And yet Jesus said, no, I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to transform you through that strength and that power. But this little group of people who walked through suffering and fed the poor and loved their neighbors themselves, the entire Roman world was overthrown through this power of God and over again. Systems that are inequitable are broken, right? Mm-hmm. Like child labor laws have ended. And I think there'll be a new generation that can't believe that we had the same conversation in the 60s and in 2020, like that this took this long to have this conversation of, oh my goodness, how do we not see the image of God in every single person?
Right.
And so I think that's the value of recognizing, okay, every single person is this precious stone, part of God's story. We get to contribute a verse to what God is doing in this world. And then, so your life matters, and at the same time, doesn't matter any more or less than any person around you. Because I think people fall on one of those two sides.
Sure.
Either their life doesn't have enough, you know, they don't have a voice, they don't have a way to influence the world. Well, you always do. Mm-hmm. And then two, on the other side of like, I'm so valuable and I'm so important. No, you're just an equal to everyone else. And that's what Peter was trying to say. Mm-hmm. Like, men, if you have a little bit more power, you know what? You better be considerate with that power. You better treat your wife as an equal. Mm-hmm. And women, you know what? It seems like the right way to get people to move forward is this way, but why don't we try this way? Let's follow what Christ did, who had every reason, right? Like, I've read that 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 is the summary of what salvation is. Is that he that didn't sin took on our sin and then lived as an example for us of what this looks like. So I'm thankful that I had the chance to speak. It was not super easy. It was not done to perfection. There will be people who are like, you missed this important part of it. Absolutely.
I already saw an Instagram comment that said perfect service. So.
Oh, well, I already got a note that said you really were tone deaf. So it's going to fall all over the place.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
And so for that, I apologize. Like, well, it was a very hard thing to do well. And I think what I really hope for it, and I'm going to, you know, talk to that person as soon as it's over. I hope this begins conversations, right? I hope that people stop doing, I'm 51. I wish maybe at 20, I had decided I'm not going to try to avoid the harder passages of scripture. I'm going to spend a little bit more time and say, what is it necessary? Because that's the hard part is I hope going forward, at least in our little community, right? We will see that those words that were ever misconstrued, that can end when we see it as a one, is we see it as a whole, right? Don't allow people to pull scriptures out. Mm-hmm. They kind of, you went to Bible college longer than I did. What's that called? Proof texting?
Yeah, proof texting. Eisegesis is the nerdier word.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, I'm glad we had a chance to talk again.
Yeah, me too. It's been too long. Yeah. Great. Any parting words?
Any parting words? No, definitely. Just a word for you as someone who's about to be married. I like the message version of 1 Peter 3:7 of just what does it look like for you to just always be blessing your wife? I think that's an exciting next step for you to take is just, hey, how can I do that over and over and over again? So,
all right. I love it. Thanks,
Kelly. Have a great day. See you soon.
You too. See ya. Thank you for joining the After Party. You can follow our sermon series online at harborofhope.org, and you can party with us again next week wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're in the area, please visit us at Harbor of Hope Christian Church on Sundays at 9:30 or 11. Party on.